Welcome to episode
18
of WoW Geekly, a weekly podcast about the World of Warcraft with a streak of geek. This episode was recorded on
Tuesday,
the
11th of March,
2014. Please remain as you are and let your auditory receptors give a warm, geekly welcome to your hosts, Asheo and Jeppy.
Good morning and welcome to WoW Geekly. As the fine lady just said, this is episode 18 of the World of Warcraft podcast with a streak of geek. And I'm joined, as always, by Asheo, although at the moment he likes to be called Two Cloaks. Hello, Asheo. How the devil are you?
I'm not sure that Coltrane would like being referred to as the lady, but okay.
Oh, I was talking about Kim, of course.
Of course. Two Cloaks. Why am I Two Cloaks?
Because you got two cloaks. Didn't you get two legendary cloaks?
That's true.
Jesus, you've not stopped talking about it since it happened.
I thought it was something else you were referring to. Something else I'd done wrong.
I said cloaks. Cloaks.
Cloaks.
Two cloaks, yeah. Hmm. Are you? Do you Dances know many people who have more than two?
I don't know anybody that's got more than two.
No, I think Two Cloaks is a good name then.
I think you'd have to be clinically insane. It would just be handed the insane title.
Aren't you going for your third, though?
It's not on the immediate horizon.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I got out the old HB pencil. I just did it in grey lead and kind of etched it just lightly onto a post-it note. Put that to one side so it's easy to rub out with new rubber.
Did you write next to it, if the expansion is a long way away?
Yeah, that's it. The expansion comes out on or before the 20th of December.
Get out your pen, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is not.
So do you call them rubbers, by the way, or erasers?
We do, yeah. No, we call them rubbers. Although what's happened is because of the Americanization and the globalization of the world, I hear my kids calling them erasers, so I get very annoyed.
It's very hard to say, isn't it? Why does it start with E or annoying?
Erasers.
Eraser.
Yeah, rubber is even worse.
Chuck it's a rubber.
Wabba.
Funny about that. Here we are, mate. Finally. We're legal.
Well, we're legal in the civilized parts of the world.
In most countries. Legal in most countries.
Yeah. It depends what you mean legal for, though. That's the trouble. It's a mixed hat. It's a mixed hat.
Well, because we can vote.
Yeah.
We can root.
Well, you could have done that before. You just weren't. I suppose suddenly it switches on.
That goes on.
Yeah,
that goes on.
Drink, I suppose. Yeah, drink.
Well, in civilized countries like Australia,
that's what I was going to say. So he says in America.
America, and I would, come on.
But it's not the same. This is what I find really, really odd. It's not the same across every state. In some states, particularly when you live near the border. I mean, you can hop across and have a beer and then hop back again and it would have been illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's all a bit odd.
I think some states basically if you're with your parents or your parents say you can, then you're no worries.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't go into a bar yourself and buy it. Very odd.
I think technically here, if you're having a meal with your parents... There's a bit of a leeway.
Yeah, I mean, if you're having a steak, if you're 12 and over, then you need to have a red wine with it, surely.
Otherwise, how uncivilized.
How uncivilized.
I know. Terrible, terrible. So 18, eh?
18. What do we know about 18, mate? Let's make it short and sweet today, shall we?
Okay.
18 is the only number that is the double of the sum of its digits.
8 plus 1, 9, 9 times 2, 18. Yeah.
Okay. Only number that does that.
Are you sure it's the only one? Have you checked them all?
Apart from zero. Yeah, I did all the others up to infinity minus one. Didn't quite get to infinity.
But, there you go. So there's still some doubt.
A little bit of doubt, yeah.
Actually, surely infinity plus infinity times infinity.
Well, I mean, if you thought about it a little bit, then you'd realize that very big numbers are very big, and that adding up single digits isn't going to get you a very big number. So you don't have to go very high to prove it.
God, I love being geeked.
Oh, yeah.
I can imagine you just there with your, pipe. Well, actually, I think you'll find.
That's right.
No.
My smoking jacket on.
With the leather elbows.
That's it.
Quite scary. So that's good. That's quite a good one, though, isn't it? Because you could say to people, what is the only number? And then again, prove it right there in front of them and not have to go dazzling them with all sorts of weird things like you normally do.
That's right.
Because that's quite a straightforward one. That's almost a party trick.
Yeah. It's also a semi-perfect number. We've had a couple of those already. The semi-perfect number. You can get it by adding up some or all of its divisors. So 3, 6, and 9, all factors of 18. 3 plus 6 plus 9, 18. Semi, semi-perfect.
Why, when you say semi, that means sometimes it doesn't work.
Well, as opposed to a perfect number where all of its divisors add up to it.
Some of them do.
Mm.
The odd thing, of course, is that at 18, you're getting lots of semis, which is...
That's been happening for a while. But 18, probably.
Since I was probably 6, mate. Anyway.
I've done this one recently. I kind of wasted it, didn't see it coming. But 18, the atomic number of argon. And I was going to tell you a good chemistry joke about that, but all the good ones are gone.
That's an oxymoron, by the way.
Sorry. I had to do it. I
did. Oh, that almost slipped by me. That almost slipped by me, mate.
Went to the
all
keeper.
All the good ones are gone. If anybody's still listening, I want to apologize for the last few minutes. Sorry.
Okay. And just for the Australians out there, 18. Number of players on the Aussie football teams, mate?
Only 18? Because I've seen that some of those games, it looks like there's about 952 of them. And they're all thugs.
You can have four on the bench. So, a lackadaisical slap on, slap off. And, maybe it's a little bit more. It should be right.
I don't know why they call it Aussie rules, because there don't appear to be any.
There are some. They change every year. But I don't think there's any sport that actually has more players on the field. I think Aussie rules might take the cake for that.
18, yeah. Even the ones that have a much bigger roster, they're not all, they're all on the sidelines. They're not.
Right, yep. News, blues, and plenty of views.
Most of them violent.
Yes. Talk about if you could actually see the people that were tweeting, you'd see their arms raised in the air because they're all up in arms.
Oh.
The hell are we talking about? Unless you've been living under a rock for the last 24 hours, you'd all know that you can pre-purchase the Warlords of Draenor.
Draenor. Dude said Draenor. In this leaked, did you see the leaked trailer?
The leaked trailer. The super secret leaked trailer with a typo in it.
Oh, was there a typo in it?
Yeah, there's a typo in the description. They may have fixed it now.
Probably
leaked.
Have.
Do you reckon it was leaked?
I think it was strategically placed.
Strategically placed. Why would you? So what are we talking about? Well, the Warcraft YouTube account had an unlisted video that was up, which you're probably seeing now, is the 1.5 minute ad for the pre-purchase for Warlords of Draenor. Mm. And if you had the link to it, you could watch it before it got announced. And that's somebody found it. And so that all went around before the announcement. And so we were pretty much certain that, and you called it last week, mate, that we're going to get the word today, the big nod.
Yep.
After they pulled down the ability to buy the mock digital deluxe edition,
yep.
He said, "Well, that means here comes WOD."
Here comes WOD.
Bam.
I said WOD. Yeah, somebody said something to somebody, and then they said, "Oh, go have a look at this," and then they forwarded it to their mate, and their mate maybe wasn't as au fait with the idea of not copying it and sending it to everybody else, and maybe that happened. And there was some talk about whether the leak forced Blizzard to move faster than perhaps they would have liked to with the...
Nah, it was always coming. So. It was always coming today.
Yeah.
Because there's too much happened, right, for it all to just fall into place. Ooh, the video came out, we better release it.
Yeah, yeah. No. It would seem silly.
I think all the ducks were lined up and they were pretty much ready to drop today.
Yeah. The actual suddenly it's there kind of thing did happen pretty damn fast. There was no, oh, it's coming kind of thing. It was boom, it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Somebody flicked the switch.
Yeah, yeah.
So $60 to actually just boost a character on its own, confirmed, now in game.
$60 US, no
66
doubt about it anymore.
Australian, which is good, because that's, you know, $60 US is like $66 and something cents. So we're getting like a 30-cent discount in Australia. Woohoo! Go us.
Because normally they screw you, don't they?
Oh yeah. Because it costs, there's like about 50% markup to be able to ship those bits over to Australia.
Yeah, because electronic bits get quite heavy as they enter the Southern Hemisphere.
Very heavy. Props to Blizzard for not gouging us on that. Thanks, guys.
For an extra $9.99, you can get the Digital Deluxe Edition. Is that right? $69.99?
Yeah, so... US. So the $60 is for just to boost a character, nothing to do with the pre-order.
No.
But to actually pre-order the games, I don't know what they are in US dollars off the top of my head now. Was it $59.79? No.
It is $49.99 and $69.99.
There you go. Which is $54.95. We don't do 99 in Australia because you can't get 1 cent pieces. So even though you're paying it with a credit card online, they make it $54.95, so you can get your 5 cents back. and $74.95 for ye olde digital deluxe.
Okay, so yeah, again, parity. You really have lucked out that time. Yeah. I'd grab those quick for you because they're probably going to go up.
Yeah. Well,
someone's going to go, hang on a second, don't we normally screw the Australians?
Wonder if because the currency changes every day, right? Wonder if those prices are going to alter if the currency drastically alters. Of course, they'll lower the price when the Aussie dollar gets parity again, won't they?
Nah. But what I see, I use PayPal for all my purchases. I don't use a card because the card charges me a little bit extra just the fact that I'm turning it into dollars or whatever. So I use PayPal. And that can make a difference. It can make a difference because obviously PayPal are using the daily fluctuations.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
You don't use PayPal? You just go straight in with the credit card?
Not for this. My BattleNet accounts have my credit card on it. So, but I do use PayPal for some stuff. That's what it is. Yeah. So one of the things that people are all up in arms about is this is a $10 price hike over the last expansion.
It is. Yeah, and it wasn't that. I mean, for inflation, that's pretty harsh, to be honest.
And especially since Salty Slancher promised us that this is going to be a free expansion. It was up on the board.
Unbelievable, on the board.
What the hell, Salty?
You know, and I listen to Salty, and I say, "Well, he must know."
I trust him.
Why would he say something like that?
I trust him and believe everything that he says. And I don't know what happened there.
Well, I emptied my expansion account, the money out of the expansion account, and used it on frivolous things like food. And now, I mean, it's a bit of a pickle because there's no money there.
Well, at least you got pickles.
Well, I mean, a bit of a pickle.
Yeah. But no coffee. No coffee, you were telling me before the show.
Yeah, let's not go there.
All right. Hey, what did you think of the actual trailer?
I don't like gnomes. I like female gnomes. That's not true. I keep saying this. I don't like gnomes, but actually, it's not
pawns,
gnomes.
The pawn stash male gnome.
Male gnomes. And he didn't have the pawn stash to start with. As he got up in levels, it suddenly appears. Do you notice that?
Needs to trim his eyebrows as well. I like it. I thought it was pretty.
I did like it. Yeah. And I can certainly see people seeing that and going, yeah. Because what it did is it hit all the marks in it. Come and play with your friends.
Exactly.
Don't worry about, you know, and that's exactly what this is. Come and play with your mates. Yep. Come back to WoW. Don't worry about the fact that there's a bit of a curve now because, boom, it's gone.
Curve's gone. Don't worry about the fact that you're going to be playing this content for another.
Well, don't worry about that anyway because it's all new to you.
Yeah.
It's all new to you. Actually, for fear of causing any sort of controversy, that is probably. They're probably saying to themselves, well, listen, we're going to suddenly have a load of people coming new to the game. They've not seen anything in this current content
The end game. We better leave it like that for those guys.
Do you know where you end up when you do your boost character?
on the Timeless Isle.
Yeah, I know.
Just freaking awesome on PvP realms. Oh, look, it's another press 90. You're dead.
Just hanging around where they come in.
That's awesome. I did see a tweet that they were thinking of changing the starting place to one of the shrines in brackets, preferably your own.
Because that'd be even funnier. Oh, there's another one. That's fine as long as you get all the flight paths. And this is another thing as well. We'll talk about the boost before we talk about
It doesn't really matter about the flight paths because, all of them. Actually, that's a good point. Yeah, because I was going to say, you get teleported down to the Timeless Isle first time around.
Mm.
You get the flight point there, but yeah, you're right. If you don't have the intermediate ones, you probably can't fly back down there.
Yeah, you have no connected things or whatever it does.
Mm.
It's annoying. But what I was thinking is that it's all well and good you getting this 90. But there's so much that you still need to be able to get hold of. Now, what comes with the boost? Do you know? There's some bags.
No, so I'm assuming you get bags, you get gear, you get writing skill, you get obviously the big discussion we've had. You know, your professions if you're boosted something 60 or above. So you get quite a lot. You know, I don't think you've you'd struggle. To get started.
Mm. No, you get your free mop flying according to this.
Mm.
Bags, 150 gold. Yeah.
Yeah, which is
some sort of lemon cakes.
It's a good chunk of gold to get the 280 flying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that's like 4,000, 5,000 gold, depending upon your status.
Reputation, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's a shame you don't get the dragon, whatever it is, that big flying never thing.
Which big dragon?
It's not a dragon. You know that you have to go through this quest line to get it, and then what is it? The type of flying thing. I don't know. There's a thing that you can only get in MOP, and you can only get it per character, and you do a quest.
You've got to get the 10 sky shards.
Something like that. And then you get this. Then you get this sort of like Chinese dragon thing that you can fly. Cloud serpent. You should get that as well. Because you don't want to be doing all that.
I have a story to tell about that later.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. I look forward to it. Mm-hmm. So, what did you do when you first saw that it was up and ready to go? What did you do?
I went, awesome, and continued working and did nothing. I'm in a quandary as I am with every expansion, and it doesn't seem like they've addressed it again with this expansion. I want the collector's edition. But I also want the pet and the mount now. So why can't I buy the digital deluxe edition now and somehow have that recognized and when I purchase the collector's edition? So I'm not wasting I'm basically wasting $20 between standard and digital deluxe digital editions. Because I'll get the collector's edition and already have the stuff that was in it.
And the actual collector's edition is going to be more expensive than the digital deluxe, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll be over $100 for the box and all that stuff. And yeah, I know. As you said last week, I could buy that other stuff separately, but you know, I've always bought the collector's editions, and I'll continue to do so. And I feel like we're being
discriminated.
We're being harshly done by it.
You people who want all the hard stuff,
yeah,
want the physical bits and pieces.
And I mean, it wouldn't be hard. I mean, just to say, okay, well, we'll give you, I don't know, an extra 2 months gameplay or something.
Yeah, I don't think you should be given anything.
Oh.
I think if you want to go out and have a huge box, and they're freaking huge boxes. I've got about 3 or 4 of them.
So they want my $75 now, and they want $100.
No. You don't. If you want the digital pets, you pay for the DDE. That's it. Simple as. Or, fortunately, if you'd been a bit smarter and a bit quicker, you could have got them on the auction house. So, you know. I want to thank the people on the PTR for testing that.
Yeah. I think there must be a secret forum somewhere of, here's the bugs we found in the PTR that we're not reporting to Blizzard, and you can get to exploit these when the actual this version comes out.
I know. There has to be something, because it's just too damn fast.
Yeah.
So who even thinks to do that?
No one knows. You better back up.
Oh, okay. Beep, 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 beep.
What are you on about?
So it hits, the purchase hits, the Digital Deluxe is there, boom, people go and buy Digital Deluxe, and with the Digital Deluxe you get a pet, as you always do, and a mount. And very, very quickly, literally within seconds of the first few people getting their pet, they realise that it could be caged. Now, once it can be caged, it can be stuck on the auction house, and that's exactly what these criminals did.
Criminals.
Like a ton of them. Oh. Criminals, I say.
Blanket call them criminals.
Exploiters. They didn't think to themselves, oh, that can't be right. I think I better leave that. No, they thought, ka-ching, and they stuck. And when I looked, there was 7 or 8 on the Irvin Ring auction house. I heard later that there was a few more. And people were obviously buying them because they went quickly. And I know that Blizzard hadn't got round at that stage to deleting them from the auction house, so people must have been buying them. And Blizzard's CS quickly said that they know it's a bug and they're going to fix it, and possibly best not to touch it because those will probably disappear if you buy one. But whether they'll punish the person that sold it, because it's with all these exploits, there's a bit of a grey area, isn't there, where you're like, well, it can be done. I don't know whether it was intended or not. I don't work for Blizzard, you know. But what was the...
I just expected that if I paid $75, hard-earned cash, that I'd be able to give away this little pet.
I'll be able to exchange for in-game gold, because that's always acceptable.
Yeah.
But what really was the exploit? Actually, that if you just did it for your first one and you went and put it on the auction house, I think maybe you could slip by on the grey area. But what happens
because
when
you're
you
a dumbass
and
you gave away your one and only pet?
Yeah, because you obviously don't understand the phase one landing. But what was happening was, as with all pets and mounts from this type of thing, they send them to all your characters on your Battle.net account. And what happens is, as soon as you learn one, all those others disappear. So next time you go to the mailbox, they won't be there. But what people were realizing is they could put them in their bag, not learn it, go on to another character and get another one, and another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. And another one. That's exploiting. Now, those people are probably going to get slapped.
They need a bit of a slap on the wrist, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I mean, that being the case, I'm surprised there's only half a dozen up there. I mean, why wasn't there hundreds up there?
Blizzard very, very, very quickly stopped the ability to cage it.
Right.
When I got mine, because what I did as soon as it hit was not go back to work and think, da-da-da-da, I just went, I want that pet, and I want that mount. I don't care about any physical stuff, collector's editions, all that stuff. And I banged in, and I got mine almost instantly. So, and by then it was no longer cageable, because I did try, obviously, because I thought, well,
yeah.
Well, I'm here.
There was also rumours of, well, even if you did buy it, you wouldn't be able to learn it.
No, that's right. And I imagine as soon as Blizzard got to the stage where they were like, oh, okay, something's gone wrong, it must have been a relatively quick hot fix.
Yeah,
and they were all again. So. So I'm afraid there's probably a few unhappy people out there. There's probably a few happy people rubbing their hands together. Until that email comes gold. Through.
Oh, well. Fun it's and games.
It's a shame. It's a shame that, like we say, there was this secret place where people don't talk about it, but you'd think that Blizzard would test that sort of thing.
Yeah, the QA department might be getting a bit of a slap on the wrist as well, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. Because you get a pet, there's a few things. There's only a few things you can do with it.
Yeah.
Learn it, and then you can either cage it or not cage it. It's not like there's a thousand different convolutions that you have to go through.
Yeah.
So it was a bit of fun for there and there and then. But and there's quite a few gold makers going, oh, you can cage it. And it was done. It was finished. It was over with.
So presumably now the gold makers, the auction house pimps, will be rubbing their hands with glee, because does this now mean that we've got another few hundred thousand people come back to WoW wanting to run LFR and make it a completely even more horrible experience that people got no idea what's going on and want to be gearing up and buying gems and enchants and gear and...
Yeah.
Now it's a good time to get back into making some gold, I'd think.
There's going to be a chunk of time now. Now, with all these things, the question that was constantly being asked yesterday when all this happened was, why bother doing it now? I mean, it's all well and good. You want the pet and you want the mount. And you know, and when I got my, I think it's some sort of jade bird. Lovely mount, by the way. It is a really nice mount. I thought to myself, I'm going to run to Ogrimmar and I'm going to fly around. Everyone's going to go, ooh, where'd you get that from? There's like 500 of them by the time I got there. So it was no longer a novelty. So there's that desire to try and do it quickly. But then the desire to do the boost. And I was surprised how many people said, okay, I've done the boost. Because it kind of means that you were waiting for something to do. And I don't, I was surprised how many boosts. I guess a lot of people are, that's right. But the vast majority of people who are doing this now are already playing.
I don't know.
Do you think people are now saying, okay, I'm coming back? I guess there's a few of them, but I wouldn't say that was necessarily the majority.
No, I wouldn't think the majority, but I would say there'd be quite a few that were humming and haring and their friends have gone, come on, you can come back now, you can get gear up, you can come play with me, you haven't got this big leveling gearing curve before you can do stuff with me.
So they've, gold making. I know Soko, who's a gold maker from the UK, Scotland, I believe, was saying that she sold more, what was she saying? She sold a ton of inscriptions. Right. And, oh, no, Mog and Transmog items as well.
Okay.
Because if you're a seasoned player, you're going to come back, you're going to do your 90, and you're going to think quite quickly about things like transmog, whereas I think people who are coming back to the game, that's not the top of their list.
No.
So things like transmog would certainly be appealing to those people who've now got a new, fresh 90.
Yeah, new 90, and they don't want to look like the 10 million other Timeless Isle.
Yeah, because refugees. The gear you get—that's right. You're instantly spotted. It's like walking around the UK in a plaid shirt. We know you're American. That's the way it is. It's just that. And suddenly appearing on the Timeless Isle, as you say, I would love to just hang around a PvP one just to see what that's like. But suddenly appearing on the it's no one of them. Look at it, it's got gear. And I mean, I actually haven't seen the outfit you get. Is it? I don't think it's. Is it disgusting yet?
I can't say that I've actually taken too much closer look, and I don't know whether looks the same for all classes. But maybe what needs to happen is when if you boost a character to 90 and you turn up on the Timeless Isle, you get a mandatory title of the noob for like 3 hours, and you're not worth any honor points or something.
Yeah, because that always stops people killing you.
Yeah,
I'm not getting honor points. I'll leave them alone then. There's going to be, if you get onto PvP, there's going to be corpses as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
And two light two.
That's why they do Hopefully the. I think so. That's why they do the Tuesday rolling resets. It's just to get rid of all the skeletons. Because that's the only reason they have to do it.
I think they have to reset as well because lots of people will quit the game instantly. Can you imagine all those people who just paid their $49.99 or whatever it was, $49.99.
Log in 3 seconds later, they're dead.
Okay, that's it. I've had enough.
Yeah. I'm going home.
Taking my ball with me. Yeah. So it was a sudden... I felt that it was a sudden thing. I checked Twitter. I went and had some food, I think. I came back. Boom, it's there. Ready, go. Let's go. But I haven't done my boost yet.
Yeah, so I'll probably just buy one of the digital things for my second account, and I don't know who to boost. I got no room on at all on Earthen Ring to boost anyone. So,
that's another thing, isn't it?
Probably boost a 2-9 on Airy Peak. Then we're going raid on Airy
Peak. Extra slot, wouldn't you? Extra slot.
Extra slot, yeah. I'd pay $50 for an extra slot. Them.
Yeah,
and get rid of the bloody 50 characters per account limit as well. I'm getting sick of having to delete a character every time I want to create a new one.
Yeah, again, it's one of those problems that affects a very small amount of people.
I don't think so. I think that must be affecting an increasing percentage of people.
50
over 10 years, mate. 10 years, 50 characters isn't that many.
Yeah, but people leave orphans and they're not unhappy to go and delete those. But you're talking about, 50 characters where you may well have given some time to them.
No, there's plenty that I've just created on a server to do something and then just left it.
Well, quit whining then. Got no problem.
Well, but I mean, they're like reserving names and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what I do. I reserve it for names and
stuff. So the one question that I had that no one seems to have answered, and I asked it on Twitter a little bit earlier, was what happens if you've got an active referrer friend and you boost a toon to 90 to get all those levels that you can hand out?
Yes.
What do you reckon? What's your bet?
I would go with a no.
No?
Well,
how would they know? Why would they distinguish between levels? I reckon they didn't even think about it, and the code isn't that smart to know about it. I mean, the code looks at your level and goes, oh, okay, you're now this level, so here's the formula. You've got this many levels to hand out.
See, it depends because it distinguishes between earned levels. Like, for instance, if I use one of my Scholar Resurrection characters and I bought them over to the RAF account, they wouldn't have levels to give. But then that's causing a break in as much as you're moving it. And actually, even if you move a RAF character from another RAF account to another RAF account, you lose the levels. So that's kind of different because it's kind of saying, well, you've moved it now. Mm. We're not sure where it was.
I mean, that's a move, yeah.
Yeah. It's all about earned levels, though. So... The only reason I would probably go, I've just gone with no, but then again, the only reason I would probably move back toward yes is because of the cascade effect that we've talked about before. The fact that when a character earns levels from a RAF, they can then pass those levels they've earned back down the line. So I don't know. Somebody's going to have to chuck us $60 to find out.
Yeah, someone give Jeppy 60 bucks so he can test it for us.
I have got a RAF. So that would be quite...
Yeah, there we go.
See, now you got me thinking. $60. Actually, it's because at some stage I'm going to obviously make those Warlord accounts. My current two RAF accounts are going to be Keepers. They're not going to be Frozen, hopefully, assuming I can get some more levels on them. So I will, at some stage, make them Warlord accounts. I hadn't planned to do it in the near future. Interesting question. If anybody knows.
So what do you reckon? Does this change anything for the the start of the beta period and the release of the actual expansion. I don't think we mentioned. Did we mention yet while we're recording?
Well, I'm not sure we didn't mention the double-edged sword. No. What Blizzard giveth and Blizzard taketh away.
Yes. So it says on the I think on the front page it says, you know, Warlords will be released in the fall. But then on the actual conditions page, it says Warlords is expected to be released on or before the 12th day of the 20th month, 2014. I'm not sure what the 20th month is.
I don't know. Those Americans crazy.
American craziness. But end of December, basically. Yeah. And everyone's going, what? Not going to get Warlords until the end of December. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Completely so missing weird. The fact that it said the word before.
Well, it said the word on or before. If they hadn't said on,
I reckon if they took away the word on, that is expected to be released before the 20th of December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. Every news can come here before the end of the year. The problem is it once again throws everything in the air. I mean, we've spoken about this before, the idea is we have no concept of when it's coming. We have no concept of there being a BlizzCon at the moment. We've got no idea when the beta is going to start. We were told, does this mean there's going to be another PvP season? I mean, there's all sorts of weirdness now that's thrown up in the air.
Mm.
And obviously, Blizzard must know. They must be fully aware of the way that the crowd reacts to things. If they see a date, they assume that's the release date. They don't think about anything else.
Mm.
As far as they're concerned, it's the 20th of December now.
I think they've received sufficient feedback that's sending the wrong message, that they'll put something out to help clarify that.
Yeah, and the dudes, the big dudes over at Blizzard have started talking about, well, it's the fall runs from, because as we've now all been told, the 20th of December is the, what is it, the end of fall or autumn, as we would call it in the civilized world. That is basically saying it's that quarter, that seasonal quarter, and that starts in September at some stage, but September the 21st, I guess. But so it's just, you know, but it's Blizzard must know this. Blizzard must know the way that they react. Somebody must have looked at that and said, look, they're going to go mad and they're going to say that's the date.
Exactly.
I don't understand.
Well, I think it comes...
I'd rather have soon.
It also comes... Yeah, just soon, TM. I think it also comes back to what we were saying last week where, you know, that there's people that are watching this closely and understand what their words mean, and a much larger audience that isn't watching this closely and kind of don't misinterpret the, you know, the messages like this when it comes out.
Well, yeah. I mean, it wasn't just that. It was the fact that until I keep using the word vast majority, but I would say a good chunk of people would not have even had any inkling of timescales for Warlords until they went in, and as soon as you go into your account, you've given the option, and it's on the store.
It's on the launcher.
It's on the launcher. So they go, wow, Warlords is here. Boom, they go in, boom. Oh, $60, boom, boom.
Yeah. Warlords is here, pre-order, buy now, boost now. Yeah. Sounds like you're getting it.
Exactly. the word pre. And unsurprisingly, there's a sudden groundswell of people going, what? Because they know that, well, or do they? Do they know that Blizzard made it quite clear, or seemingly made it clear, that there will be no new content between now and when Warlords launches?
Yeah, that hasn't raised its ugly head lately. I think a lot of people just aren't even raising that as a point anymore. But yeah, that's for sure. And then you also need to take into account that their usual beta period is 5 to 6 months, and there's no sign of the beta yet.
No.
So it's at least 5 to 6 months away.
I didn't realise it was such a long period until people started saying that.
Yeah.
I thought Mist was a much shorter period, but I guess not.
They've been getting a bit... Well, MOP was MOP was different because I think MOP, I think the beta period for MOP was a lot more difficult than what they wanted because it was associated with the annual pass. You buy the annual pass, we'll get you into the beta. And they would have had millions of people that they felt, you know, they had to get into the beta because they bought the annual pass. And I think that made for a very unmanageable beta period.
Yeah, they were suddenly faced with all sorts of server load and stuff they probably wouldn't want to test till quite late on.
Yeah. So I think it'll be different this time around, but you know, I still think they're going to want 5 to 6 months of testing.
So then you'll bang you in September, even if it's like tomorrow, you're in September.
Yeah. So I'm thinking my October guess. Not far off.
Let me just turn up the smug filter.
All right. Turn it up. Filter, parallel. Shall I add to that a little bit?
Go on then. Go on.
Did you actually know? I know you did because I mentioned it to you before, but you have to say no now. That Jerry Mefeasel, that weasel out in the Darkman Fair Isle that doesn't give pets to anyone, is a real person.
I did not know that.
Oh, man, you do. And he's one of the designers of pet battles. And he's, you'd reckon if you're going to get a tune named after yourself in the game that drops something that people want, that you'd want to make sure that it wasn't impossibly high drop rate so that people didn't hate your guts and call you Jeremy Feasel the Weasel.
Constantly.
Yeah. But he joined Twitter this week on the handle Muffness, and he's now working on Garrisons. You may have seen a picture that he tweeted of Garrisons a week or two ago. And somebody asked him today or yesterday about when are we going to get an info dump on Garrisons, you know, hanging out for it. And his response was your typical soon, you know, TM. And beta, probably less soon.
You could hear the slap from him. Get off Twitter. You've only been there 10 minutes.
I mean, admittedly, that could mean, you know, next week's water cooler is on Garrisons and the week after it's the beta, but, you know, wouldn't be holding my breath.
I can't. I'm more and more stunned. So it does mean, say for you as relatively cutting edge, and you know, I say relatively cutting edge, you're legendary or whatever. I mean, what do you do now? What do you do?
Oh, mate, I got.
I know. See, you're wrong. I hate talking to you about this because you're like, I could do. I got loads of things to do. It's freeing. The hills are alive. You're like dancing around because you've got so much extra stuff you can do. But other normal people.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've seen a few people who, sometimes it's hard to know if they're tongue-in-cheek or not, but they're saying, oh, well, I think I might let it lapse, my sub lapse now and come back
stop paying for 6 months and, you know, six times 15 bucks, I'll be able to buy the expansion.
See, this is what I don't understand. Somebody mentioned on Twitter that this was like the annual pass, but it's not like the annual pass because the annual pass tied you down to subs for 12 months. And at the end of that 12 months, you went and bought the expansion shortly afterwards. I can't remember exactly how the timing fell, but you know, you still went ahead and bought the expansion. It's not like you chose between them.
Sure.
Well, you know, I know that up front you've just given Blizzard, or at least I have, £40 or $60. And that's 4 months worth of subs. Up front, you've given them that, and you know, they've just ka-chinged, they stuck that in their back pocket. But
stick it in a bank in a term deposit until that wallet comes out.
It doesn't mean that I'm going to stay subbed now. And although, as well as you can say, where you've got a sudden injection of cash, and there's all sorts of cynical people saying, well, they need to have a substantial chunk of cash so they can have nice quarter figures, and this is why they've done this, and I don't know about all that, but still, I need to see something. They need to let us know relatively quickly what they're going to do to maintain subscriptions
mm.
for normal people,
what's
not
you. What's going on?
So, and, if, and some people have suggested, well, that's the beta. The beta will make retain subscriptions because they're going to have to put in some sort of policy which says we will not send you a beta key, or we will not. You have to have an active account.
You don't have an active account, you won't get a beta key.
Yeah, and people will hang on for that, I think. But sometimes I worry about Blizzard. They make sublime games, and they do fantastic stuff, and they keep me so much entertained for such a small amount of money. But then sometimes they're like the Keystone Cops. They're like, I imagine when they get to BlizzCon, they all come out with the same little car.
The clown car. The little mini clown car that's got like 50 people in it.
Because it's just those things. It's like, you must know, 10 years down the line, you must know the type of reaction you'll get if you put any type of date on anything.
Mm-hmm.
You must know the reaction. You must know the reaction if you give the perception that there'll be no new content between now and Warlords. That you've given no indication of when there'll be a beta. You must know the reaction you're going to get. And as much as we see in the forums, people saying, well, that's it, I quit, and a vast majority of them don't actually quit, they're just arseholes.
Yeah.
These are the types of things that will make people think, well, okay, maybe I let it slide for a couple of months. Maybe I don't pay my subscription. And then we start getting numbers, below 7 million. And when you start, and the worst thing about that is it's almost like a cascade effect. People go, oh, well, it's dying. 7 million, 6 million, whatever. And they say, well, why would I come back? And then it defeats the whole object of this 90 boost, and it's just like this nasty, vicious cycle. So I'm sure somebody at Blizzard understands this process and is thinking, okay, we rapidly need to get out the idea, the perception. We need to change the perception that beta's on its way. There will be some major event before Warlords hits, and it will hit relatively quickly. That could be fine. I don't know how long we got the zombie thing before.
Undead.
Was before Wrath. Zombie thing before Wrath of the Lich King.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I can't remember how long that was, but that kept people going. People were fun. They enjoyed all that. Yeah.
I love that.
So they're going to have to do that.
Do that again.
Yeah, I worry. I worry that. Bring this. Just do it again.
just turn them into the Iron Orcs or whatever the hell they are.
Yeah, that's like Iron Horde stuff. That'd be great. But
but they get bashed, don't they? They do. They do get bashed. They try hard. They give us information, and pretty much overwhelmingly, they get bashed. Which was the other big news of the week? Last week's water cooler, which was on healing. There was a lovely blog post on what they're hoping to achieve with changes to healing and associated game mechanics and how fights and everything will work. And oh my God, did that raise a hornet's nest! Oh my God, you're going to make it like Catter again. Didn't you learn your lesson? That was horrible. I'm leaving. I'm not going to heal ever again. Oh, you've ruined the game. You can't play the Trustus card anymore. Oh, wow. It was like.
Explain to me the change, because I don't really understand anything.
Well, there's a whole bunch. I'll summarize them and give a little, just very briefly, my opinion on them. So I think the first mistake they made was leading with here's the discussion point on health versus resilience, which immediately made it feel like, oh, you're changing healing because of PvP. Which wasn't a great way to start the blog. That riled people up immediately. I don't care about PvP. Don't ruin the PvE game. Because PvP's broken. I don't care. And there was also, and I kind of finished with it as well, because the last point was reducing instant cast healing spells, which was also to help with PvP issues around silencing and interrupts and stuff. So they're actually adding some cast times to some instant cast spells, which you know, okay, well, that kind of, as a resto druid, that bothers me a bit. But, you know, I'm keeping an open mind. I mean, we have, admittedly, over the years, I don't remember. I mean, I started healing on a priest, and I think we had like one instant cast heal. And you know, admittedly, over the years, we've gained quite a few instant cast heals. So I understand the need to cut that back. So that was one thing. But the, and I don't actually remember, because I've healed in every expansion. I don't remember Cataclysm healing being particularly bad. But a lot of people likened this to going back to a model that they tried in Cataclysm that everyone is adamant was a complete and miserable failure. So I don't really understand the finer details of that. Cata healing didn't feel that bad to me. So overall, I mean, my impression is that, you know, they've got to make changes, and change is good. You know, I don't want to have to be playing the same class exactly the same for another number of years. I want them to change it up and have me learn something new. And yeah, I just have to trust them that they're not going to completely break the game, because they've got to have seen that all through MOP. If you looked at the LFR queues, for example, you're always waiting on healers, right? So they can't risk driving healers away from the healing role. They need to attract more people to healers to balance out those queues. So that's my concern, that you know they need to attract more healers, not scare off the people that like healing.
Because is this more complex healing? From what I'm looking at some of the stuff, does this not appear to be more complex? Well, smart heals being taken away, stuff not being instacast.
I think it's more, I wouldn't say more complex. You have to more thinking about what you're doing as a healer. You know, which is a good thing, because as they said, you know, we want to make it less button mashing and more interesting for healers. And you know, they're right to a degree. But you can almost nowadays you can almost get to a point where you're not even looking at what damage people are taking. You're just going through your heal rotation and not worrying about it. And you know that with enough healers, that it just keeps everyone alive. And that's an over-exaggeration, but, you know, so I can understand that, you know, they are aiming, they've said, well, we're going to lessen all these smart heals, because there's so many heals now that are smart heals that heal people with the lowest health. And, you know, rightfully, okay, there's concern about how is that going to impact it. Like, at the moment, you've got five people that stand in a circle, you chuck out an AoE heal. At the moment, it heals the people with the lowest health. And now it's going to heal, you know, five random people. So you know, it might choose to heal people that are already at max health.
Or just a couple of points off, yeah.
Yeah. And also AoE heals and multi-target heals. They're reducing those as well. And my big concern, I guess, is, or my other concern is I really hope that they keep the healing styles different.
Yeah.
You know, for example,
homogenize them.
A druid to me is a multi-target heal over time healer. You know, whereas your paladin has always been a single target big heals. Mm. And so each healer class has really got their own little niche. And I hope that they accentuate that more rather than reduce it.
I don't think they are. I think they're not doing that. I think they're homogenizing a lot.
Mm.
I think the general movement, and it's been going on for quite a long time with the bring the player, not the class, is that homogenization, so that everybody has all the elements of the necessity for a healer or a tank or a DPS.
Yeah, but there can still be different healing styles. I mean, they're leaving room for it because basically what they're doing is they're, you know, reducing the spiky damage. So, you know, you're not having tanks go from 100% to 5%, you know, in two hits. So you've got more time to think and react.
And that's the offset, isn't it?
Up. And that's the
offset.
And that's
why I couldn't get my head around, really.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got more room to play there, then you've got room to play with different healing styles to get someone from 50% back up to 80%.
Yeah.
So
I think that's why, people will look at the healing changes, and they will look at those healing changes in relationship to the mechanics they're facing now.
Mm-hmm.
And they go, well, that won't work because the reason I need those smart heals is because of this bursty damage.
Yeah.
Because I can't cope with it if I had to think about who gets the heal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too much. It's too quickly because the next hit will kill the dude.
Yeah.
It's too fast.
I think what a lot of people don't realize as well is that the classes aren't designed around the fight mechanics. The fight mechanics are designed around the classes. Mm. The fight mechanics aren't going to be the same as they are now because, you know, the classes are changing. So, yeah. And I was a bit confused. I read a lot of responses that was concerned about the intended changes for base mana regen. And I read it as a good thing. I don't understand why people are getting upset about it. Because what happened in MOP, and not for the first time in an expansion, you gear up to max level, you get your starting gear, and you go and run a dungeon, and, you know, a third of the way through the first boss, you're out of mana. Because your starting gear just doesn't have the mana regen on it. And it made it very hard to heal until you got really decent gear. And so what they're doing now is increasing your base mana regen on those early tiers. So I can only see that as a good thing. It means, you know, there's less of a hurdle to actually get in and to be able to heal up in those, you know, the first set of level 100 heroics.
So yeah.
I'm happy with that. The one bad thing that I saw that they were going to do, they're removing spells. They're going to be less spells, you know, like Nourish is going away for druids. But not only are they removing spells, they're going to be renaming or reusing the spells for something else. Yeah. And that to me, spells disaster. If you think about how add-ons like Healbot and Voodoo work, because they go, you know, cast, you know, Greater Healing Wave, and, you know, they'll be casting something that is called Greater Healing Wave but isn't what Greater Healing Wave used to be. So if healers, you know, and I can imagine there's, you know, quite a lot of healers that go, okay, well, you know, Voodoo still works, that spell still exists, I'll continue doing that same thing, but it's a different spell.
Yeah, it's a dangerous precedent, isn't it?
I think that's kind of dangerous. It doesn't encourage people to take a good hard look at their classes and their spells and relearn it.
See, I think this is why I poo-poo people who go, oh, all these new 90s coming along, they're not going to know their class. No bugger's going to know their class on the first day of Warlords. So
well,
everybody's going to have to relearn.
As well. But yeah.
Well, beta players, yeah. But, exactly. But there's going to be a huge, there's not a huge, but there's going to be a learning curve. Stuff's disappearing. Stuff's, you know, being scrunched together.
And that's part of the excitement of a new expansion. It's not just the new content. It's learning to play the characters again. And how boring would it be if you just logged on and it was, you know, your character was exactly the same as it was before. You want something new to learn.
Just to throw a little bit of a conspiracy theory into all of this mix, do you think that Blizzard, they've obviously making moves towards the competitive nature of gaming. They, you know, they do big things in StarCraft and so on and so forth. Do you think when people start going, oh, you know, you're moving these things because of PvP. And I kind of see that in the whole removal of lots of crowd control.
Mm-hmm.
That PvP is a lot faster and smoother without loads of jittery crowd control. Do you think it is another way of these where they're saying, well, you know, this is where the money is kind of thing in competitive gaming? Let's try and balance, let's move towards the PvP side of things a bit more than we have perhaps in the in recent past.
So that's a good point. Yeah, I mean, if they're looking at the numbers of how people play and they see a majority of people are spending time in PvP, then sure. Why wouldn't they lean towards making that gameplay more interesting?
Mm. And I said it earlier on, we're looking at another PvP season, aren't we, between now and Warlords? Not this new one that's happening at the moment, but another.
Well, I don't know. The one that's just started now. Ooh.
Could it go all the way through to September?
I don't know how long PvP seasons typically run for, or what happened with the last season of previous expansions.
Yeah.
Not being a PvPer. Dunno.
It is a interesting swing in lull times. A lot of people do start to think about PvP.
Yeah, because they look at it, they look at the game and want to experience something that they don't normally do. Mm. And that's PvP for a lot of people.
Yeah. I'm seriously thinking about jumping into Battlegrounds.
Are you just?
I like Battlegrounds. I used to do Battlegrounds all the time.
You're going to multi-box them? Triple box?
Can't anymore.
PvP triple box?
Can't.
Oh, just
taking away follow.
Just get three keyboards.
I have got three keyboards. But that's not the point. I unfortunately only have two hands. No, I have gone in as a multi-boxer, just two, like a dual boxer with two hunters in Battlegrounds. But even that is very unsatisfying. It just feels not wrong morally. I'm more than happy to break some more ground, but. It if one dies, it's messing around, faffing about. It's so much smoother to using. That's the one area which I would rather much monobox. So.
Mm. Too true. Unless you need some cannon fodder.
Yeah. What I would probably do is go in with one main character and four gnomes and just have them surround my character so they take the initial hits while I'm pumping away from inside. That would be quite cool. I might do that. It's a shame that characters can't act as a block.
Hmm.
But you have to hit the character.
Give them a meat shield. Get through me, hunter.
But of course, we need gnome hunters, so let's get that sorted as well, by the way.
Oh, what is this thing with gnome hunters?
My wish list is gnome hunters and at least one extra slot. I'll be very annoyed, by the way, if the extra slot does occur, but it occurs when Warlords goes live. Because most people will have had to delete a character in order to perhaps boost a character. And that would be very annoying in retrospect. Well, I would be annoyed by that. But.
I don't think people would. What? Why would you delete a character on a realm to boost a character?
Yeah, but if you wanted to, say you had a holding character, like a level 20, 25,
maybe
your bank character.
Yeah.
You want to free up a slot in order to create a different class 90.
Yeah.
One with a better name. Mm. Oh, and I also want surnames.
Ah, yes.
Surnames, gnome hunters, extra slots. What else I want?
Make you happy.
I want the moon on the stick, basically.
That's three wishes. Yeah, that's your three wishes.
Oh, my third wish was actually more wishes, so that's how you're supposed to. 1,000 more wishes!
That's so, a loophole.
Busy week.
Indeed. What have you been up to in the game? You done anything besides reading news?
That's taken a lot of time. I've been leveling those hunters, Pepsky and Jepsky.
How are they going, mate?
Up to level 70.
70?
Yeah. It was quite cool, actually, because they're actually on Elven Ring and Cloud of Darkness. And one thing that Control Alt WoW does with Cloud of Darkness, its guild, is it keeps an eye on the top 10 people who are giving to the guild.
Send you prizes.
And I know. I'm hoping to get some prizes this week. I wasn't 100% sure when the cutoff was. So what I've been doing is just trying to stay ahead of the pack. So it's been quite cool. I thought I'd done Horde Hunters quite recently, but actually I don't think I have, because a lot of it just seemed new to me, especially when I hit Outland. Because Outland is actually very different for the Horde. Not very, very different, but different. You know, it's a different. There are lots of different quest lines and stuff. There's not many ones that are joined together. There's not many neutral areas in Outland.
That's true.
And a few of them that I suddenly went, oh God, I hate these quests. And I've come to the opinion that Alliance have it easier in Outland than Horde do.
Yeah,
that's my new opinion. Yeah. Because some of those quests are hideous. Click this, click. And once again, I was thinking to myself, oh, I'm doing really well. I've not died, not come close to dying. And there's this hideous quest where you have to collect blood from these orcs, then you throw it into a cauldron, and it boils it.
Yep.
But what before it boils it, it chucks out a load of scarabs, or cockroaches. Killed me. Those freaking...
I don't think I've ever done that quest without dying.
No, it's almost impossible. Yeah. Well, I found out the best thing to do is just chuck it in there and then leg it.
Just do one.
Run away.
Because I usually stand there and go, how many can I chuck in before I die?
Well, yeah, because you want to get it over and done with, because it's slow as a granny. And you're just like, ah, click, 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 dead. So any chance of me getting up to 90 without dying is well gone now. So, but it was good. And I, one thing I haven't tended to do is go to the areas early. And this time I did. I went out at 58 to Outland and at 68 to Northrend. And speed's unbelievable. So much difference.
Right.
I mean, from 68 to 70 was like 4 minutes. Maybe a bit longer, but it was stunningly fast. Like 4 or 5.
The boat ride took longer.
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Actually, I think I got a couple of levels on the boat. It's good. And I'm certainly enjoying running around. And somebody whispered to me and said, actually from the guild, I want to say it was Raven from the guild, why, what do you do with all these characters? I mean, why, you know, it's looking at the guild roster, you already have 4 hunters at 90. Why? And I can't really explain it. Yeah. It's not just that any character, it's just nice to have a reason to be out in the world and running around. And
we
and,
like
and
leveling.
Stuff. I do like leveling. But some people are like, it's actually, they put so much effort into the leveling, into the quest lines and into the lore behind the quest lines. I'm going to say it's different every time. It's not 100% different, but you do have choices to make, which direction you take and so on and so forth.
Yep.
Which quest you drop and so on and so on. So it's, I'm enjoying it. And I've created another couple of teams as well, mages and warlocks, which will be seeing the light of day in the next few days.
All Horde Earthen Ring?
So far Horde Earthen Ring. The main reason for that is that the account that... because what this is kind of is a do-over. Because the accounts that Blizzard kindly removed from my Battle.net were the ones that I fluffed and missed the deadline and didn't pass back any levels.
One of the ones that you fluffed.
One of the many that I fluffed, yeah. Or as we like to call it, the incident. And so those two were moved off, and the two that I've started now are do-over for that. And what happened with that, of course, is that there's a load of tail-end ones which didn't get levels. They were meant to get levels because I missed it. They didn't get the levels. So I've got a chunk of stuff to give to some Earthen Ring characters, and I've got a chunk of stuff to give to my Aerie Peak characters. So they'll be both. They will both benefit from this particular ref. I have to apologise to Wolf Brother Eranth, who I did say at some stage, and I may have been drunk, that I would, once I did the ref with Strumpet, I would do another ref, and perhaps he could be the one that recruited me. And, he wasn't happy. But this is not that. This is not the same thing at all. This It sounds like it's a RAF.
Different situation.
It's a different situation, yeah, because I need to give, because I've got loads of characters on the account that started the RAF that need the levels. They need the levels, you know. Mm. So, unfortunately, they were doing that.
Fair enough.
But as far as the boosted character go, I probably won't be boosting my character. I can't see why I would do it just yet, because I'm certainly going to boost to 60. I'm not going to bother boosting 1 to 90. And I want to get the professions. And I have no idea yet what the ideal professions will be. We've got no concept, again, of the changes they're going to make. We know they're going to make changes because they've said as much. There's going to be a good combination of professions. So I'm not going to start boosting characters now in the hope that I guess correctly. It doesn't seem right to do that.
Alchemy and jewel crafting. There you go.
You think they're going to be the two biggies?
It's on the post-it note. Alchemy and jewel crafting.
The only problem with this, and we didn't discuss it when we were talking about the boosting, is that you get no recipes. You get your 600, but you've learnt nothing.
Oh. So your skill 600. So you don't actually have the... You don't have the recipes for things that you would have learned to get to 600. You just got a 600 skill with no recipes.
Yeah. If you went along and you boosted your character and you only had a level 1 in that profession, you would have learned nothing.
Ah, I didn't realise that.
I know.
That's not good.
And there's also, I mean, as we know from our own profession, there's huge gaps where you may have to take 3 months in certain professions to get all the recipes because you have to do it daily.
Yeah.
So
you build up currency to get 3 things to go and buy one of 700 jewel crafting designs.
Now, whether that will change or not, I don't know. And I haven't done one myself in order to show that's the case, but lots of people in the gold making community are reporting that that's the case.
Right. And people are just going to go to your trainer and go, learn.
Well, somebody worked out, I think it was Fade, that to do tailoring, I think, you're looking at 1,300 gold bang straight away.
Wow.
To learn the recipes from your trainer.
Hmm.
Which kind of knocks the head off on the 150 that you got. So, you know, it's not... It isn't like, bang, you do your 90, you get your 600 professions and you're in the auction house making money, because you've got a heck of a long way to go.
So, yeah, and it's painful to sit there and stare at them and go, well, you know, tailoring, okay, well, I need to know how to make a bolt of windwool cloth, so I need that one. And I need, you know, I might want to make a bag, so I need the windwool bag ones, and I might want to make some of this gear. So, it's hard.
Fortunately, you have time. But the other thing, of course, is that it could be argued that if you did your boost closer to, you wouldn't necessarily need to know all the old recipes.
Well, that's because
you'd be hit ground running with the new ones.
Yeah.
But
yeah, because, I mean, if you did it now and wanted to use it, then really you've got an uphill climb of a crap ton of reputation grinds to do before you can get useful recipes.
Yeah, actually, there's been no reporting on what reputations you may get. I don't know. Because this is what people don't really appreciate. That
if you quested
90.
Yeah, if you got the 90 and you quested, you're probably almost exalted with the Klaxi anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. So there's a whole bit of revisitation that I don't think people necessarily appreciate. The 90 levels are just a small part of the leveling process. Yeah. The actual levels are just a tiny part of it. So it'd be interesting to see how that starts to build up as a problem. Yeah, people start saying,
people will just play and have that maxed out profession there ready to go for warlords and not bother doing anything with it.
I would say so, yeah. Well, yeah. Although, like we just said, they do have time.
Yeah.
If you want something to do between now and September or whenever it is. Time. You got plenty of time to do impressions. So what have you been up to? What have, another cloak, is it this week?
Yeah, I got my fourth, fifth, I've lost track. No.
Just too many cloaks.
I've not actively working on any cloaks at the moment.
Ah, okay.
What I did get this week, finally, jumping with joy, I've killed Hulon for about the 7 millionth time, and he dropped the reins of the thundering Onyx. I don't know how you say that word. Onyx. Cloud
Onyx.
Serpent.
Onyx. Onyx. Yeah. It's a gem, isn't it, Onyx?
Yeah.
So didn't you have that?
I did not have that. No.
Ah, congratulations.
I've been killing Hulon, trying to get it. So I went, oh, that's awesome. And when it drops, and it actually said in the loot window, yeah, you receive loot, Reigns of the Thundering Onyx Cloud Serpent. Great. Fantastic.
Yay.
Yay.
There's a butt coming, isn't there?
Oh, there's a butt. Oh, mate. There's a butt the size of your butt.
It's your Kim Kardashian, is it?
Oh, yeah. And you also get a quest. Pops up and says, oh, you go and visit the Cloud Serpents. Here's his quest. I went, oh, okay. So I open up my bags and looking with... Where's the reins? Can't see the reins. It's like, oh, my bags are chock-a-block full of crap. So I'm using Arc Inventory, so you know, it's got the filter. You know, you start typing the names of something and everything else grays out. Started typing reins of, everything grays out.
Uh-oh.
It's like, where is it? And I scroll back up and it says, you receive loot, Reins of the Thundering Onyx Cloud Serpent. I'm like, it's got to be in my bags. I looked in my bags again. No, it's not in my bags. Reload UI. No, it's not in my bags. Okay. So eventually I turned off Arc Inventory, and that made it even more impossible to search my bag.
Just for kids.
Just for kids. But it was there. It was actually in my bags, and Arc Inventory was not showing it.
Mm.
I don't know what is special about that, but it wasn't there. So I'm like, oh,
I don't think Arc Inventory believed you'd got it.
Yeah.
It was like, no. No way two cloaks got that.
Not a chance, sunshine. So, yeah, shoot beauty. Right clicked on it. Requires Cloud Serpent riding skill. I'm exalted. I'm exalted with the Cloud Serpents. I've been handing in eggs after eggs after. I'm exalted. I know everything.
Eggs after eggs.
Eggs after eggs. I'm like, oh, maybe I've got to go and hand in this quest. So I flew off to the Arboretum and found the quest giver and went, yeah, okay, here's your quest. Complete the quest. What do you got for me? Nothing. I was like, what? What do you mean nothing? Where's the next quest? Where's what? What? And I went, this is really weird. What's going on here? So I'm looking in my mounts, and of course, I've already got a Cloud Serpent mount. You know, because I bought one when I've hit Exalted on my first character. And it occurs to me that I've actually never ridden that on a show. I right clicked on that. And it said, requires Cloud Serpent riding.
What?
You gotta be kidding me. What am I gonna do? And so then I'm looking through Wowhead and I'm looking at, you know, all the comments are basically assuming that you've gained rep with the Cloud Serpents, the good old-fashioned way of doing all the dailies, and somewhere along the road you learn the Cloud Serpent riding skill. But because I'd done it by handing in all the eggs, I hadn't done any of their stupid dailies, I learned that skill. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Does this mean so I have to start doing the dailies and hatch the stupid little egg and let it grow up and come back here every day and effectively get exalted, you know, earn enough reputation to get exalted again? So I was getting kind of a bit panicked about that, and there was nothing, no comments on Wowhead at all. I couldn't find any comments about, you know, how do I get this actual one quest that gives me the writing skill as a quest reward. No one was offering it to me, so with nothing better to do, I picked up all the dailies and all the quests there and started doing them. I'm like, oh, I don't want to have to do this. And then you get the, you know, you do the first set and it says pick an egg. All right, I'll pick my green egg, and goes through the cut scene and it hatches and, oh, look, it's growing. And okay, now go and do these quests, and now go over there and talk to this bloke and start riding through clouds, you know, circles of clouds, and pick up speed. And now you're tethered to me. Now you have to follow me. You don't get too far away. And that quest is completely...
You're doing this all through gritted teeth.
And that quest was completely bugged out because you're trying to read the quest and follow him, stick on his tail. But if you stick right on his tail, he gets about, you know, 2 minutes out and then just fades and despawns in front of your eyes. I'm like, what? So I went back. I was like, I'm right on your tail. How can you get away from me? Went and did it again. Sat right on his tail. He's telling me how I'm supposed to win this race. Gets to the same point. Despawns again. I'm like, oh, no. And then I'm reading comments on Wowhead for that quest, and it's saying, don't sit on his tail. You're supposed to ride through the stupid bloody cloud things, you know, go zipping through the cloud things and dash off and, you know, come back when it says you're too far away. So I did it a third time, and this time I'm, you know, didn't follow him. I just went off on my own little merry way and started dashing through the circles of cloud, and he hung around, and I was screaming off him because he's flying at, like, you know, normal speed, and I've gone through about 400 cloud circles, and so I'm flying at about 10,000,000%. So eventually got through all that, and lo and behold, a couple of quests later, here's your cloud serpent riding skill.
Ah, so you didn't have to constantly back and forth.
Oh, it's like, oh my god. Oh, phew. It turns out I'd done it. Like, I came back the next day and was doing it again. But it turns out if you persist and get through, you know, not too much stuff, it's not, I mean, it's painful because you've done it all before, and why the hell just don't I have this cloud serpent riding skill? But yes, you can get it fairly easily, but it is per toon, per character. So even though you're exalted, and even though you bought all the mounts, no, you can't ride them. Sucks to be you. So
I haven't even started doing that. See, this is what I need to do now. With the continuing lull, I need to do a list. I need to do a list of things that I need to tick off, really.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to do the list for me.
I will add to the list for you, mate. Not a problem. Not a problem. So there you go. So that was that bit. And
stupid cloud serpent.
Stupid cloud serpent. And you may have seen on Twitter yesterday, I splashed out. I decided, okay, I've got my I actually like that mount. That is a real, because it looks exactly like Hulon, right? It's the serpent with the lightning kind of flickering along it. So it looks really cool.
It's one of his kids.
Yeah, that's right.
Or her kids. He ripped it from her stomach.
That's it.
Yeah. That's, you go back now and go, nee, 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 nee.
I haven't been back to see her since then. Not interested anymore.
They come, they go.
They come, they go. That's it. I thought, speaking of nice-looking mounts, I'm a jewel crafter. I'm exalted with the cloud serpents. I should make all my panthers.
Get
my jewel panther. So I've already got one because my good mate Jeppy gave me one. But you got to get three more. Make the jeweled one. And I started looking into it and remembered, oh, no, that's right. I've learned that one, but I've got to make another one.
Yeah, you can't, you've got to keep them in your bag.
So if you want all of them, you've actually got to make eight.
Yep.
Learn four and then make another four. And those orbs are still 18,000 gold apiece.
Yeah.
And the gems, the 20-off gems that you need, I think the primordial ruby was the most expensive one. You need 20 of them, and that was like 80 to 90 gold apiece. And then I thought, I'm smart. I'll just transmute some of the, you know, the green quality gems, because I've still got a stack of those that I don't know what to do with. But of course, the golden lotus is like 50 gold a pop anyway. So I went, couldn't be bothered. So I just bought it all and made them all. Couldn't be stuffed.
That's how the auction house survives.
Well, yeah.
Mate. Oh, can't be bothered.
I was jumping back and forth and looking at all my tunes and what I needed and logging into, you know, different ones and comparing. And I did that for about half an hour, 45 minutes. I went, this is taking forever. I'll just buy it and make it. So I bought all those and made it. And, yeah, not impressed. Don't like it. I like the jade one you gave me much better than the jewel one.
Yeah, that one just looks all pimped up.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like a Black Panther that some kids slap some plastic bling bling on.
It's just a blinged up.
Yeah, Panther. Blinged up Black Panther dude. Wasn't impressed.
I thought all the original ones were way better than the combo one. It's a shame, really.
Yeah, I'm thinking, damn, I should have just made the four and would have been happy with that. But oh well.
So you didn't make eight. You didn't make the seven.
No.
Okay.
Wasn't that silly? I wasn't I'm gold happy.
I'm gone crazy. Gold happy.
Happy. Yeah. So there you go. But what else have I been doing? That's Not a Knife Guild has started running through Cata Dungeons. And I got to tell you. So we had to obviously go up to Mount Hyjal and buy the Welfare Greens because your gear's completely crap if you've just come straight from where the hell did we come from? The North Rind.
the white place.
I don't know. Oh,
the snowies.
The other place. But yeah, your gear's crap. And so you go to Mount Hyjal and buy greens and... running the starter dungeons in those greens, yeah, not so easy. They're actually pretty tough dungeons still. Using those crowd control thingies, fearing and sheeping. It's always...
For now.
Yeah, leader and I...
sheeping?
The leader's a mage. I'm a warlock.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty much guaranteed that if Wingy says, okay, we want to CC something... she'll sheep something and I'll fear it. So you got this feared pig running around, or I'll fear something and she'll sheep it. We always seem to pick the same mob.
Fear doesn't break this sheep.
No. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And so we actually did manage to get through. We're up to Stonecall. So we had a bit of a disaster, as you do in Stonecall, with all those, if you try and get through without clearing all the mobs. So we did have a bit of a wipe, a bit of line of sight issues on the dragon boss, which is bound to happen. But we managed to get through it eventually. There wasn't, I think, there was only one of us alive. One of us left alive on the last boss. I don't remember who it was now. I think it was... That was Matter. Matter was last man standing, and he switched to bear form to try and stay alive just a little bit longer, and we pulled it off. So that's a bit of fun, but it's nice and challenging. I have to think about the classes again. So I think we'll have to run each of those a fair few times to get a bit better gear. Because, I mean, I think it's 232. The greens you get from Mount Hyjal, the welfare greens, are 232. And then if you go and run the first dungeon, you know, Black Rock Caverns, that's dropping 308s.
Ooh.
232 to 308 is a big jump, mate.
Yeah.
So.
But would quest rewards, would initial quest rewards have been better?
I don't remember. Yeah, I don't remember what the quest rewards were, but they're certainly better than that. But we're not.
Because every time I bought what you call welfare greens, they're replaced so quickly.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they're there specifically for this situation where you're leveling up. You've just come from Northrend, and all you did was quest up until 80, and you're in quest greens. You've got none of the raid content. you know, tears. It's very, as I found a couple of weeks back, very difficult to get started in kata. And that's even with, you know, they force you to go to 80 before you can get any quests, as opposed to the previous two expansions where you could, you know, jump in at 58 and 68.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's pretty much been my week, apart from our flex rating. Our flex team is currently bashing our heads against Siegecrafter.
That is this the GURP? No, FURT.
FURT. The FURT raid team, indeed. And Siegecrafter, mate, talk about wanting instacast heals because you're constantly on the move. That is a fight where you want instacast heals because you're constantly on the move. It's one of those. A lot of the times, healers can get away without knowing all the mechanics of a fight because you can largely not have to worry about them. But that is a fight where everybody needs to know what's going on, and you know, everybody's got to be on their toes. There's bloody saw blades jumping out at people that you need to stack up. There's fire, you know, laser beams under people's feet that you need to run away from, but don't just run anywhere because you know you're going to trap people or spread fire through the group. There's mobs that come out you need to switch to. There's big meteorites that come up out of the ground in waves you've got to steer clear of. It's full on. It's a full
on. It's a light cluster, isn't it?
Oh, it really is. So we've got them down to about 30%. We're getting there.
You're banging your head, but you're getting slowly into the
banging your head but making progress, which is always a good feeling.
Are they going to retool the old dungeons then?
Yeah, so I mean that's something that occurred to me. It's like, okay, well, you're changing the way healers work, and you obviously all the new mechanics and everything are going to work well for that, but then what are they doing for all these old mechanics that work this way?
Yeah, because it's not like you can give instacast up until 90 and then take them away.
Mm, exactly. And it's, you know, the fight works by all this damage output.
God, I hope people are thinking about this over at Blizzard. I really do.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, who's it aimed at? Who people aren't going to be 91 and trying to run Siege of Orgrimmar.
No.
Right? Once the expansion...
Well, I am.
No one's going to be in Siege of Orgrimmar till you hit 100, and then it's not going to matter.
No.
Because you're just going to outgear it and you blast through the mechanics and it probably doesn't matter. But I'm sure there'll be, you know, like Flame Leviathan, you know, it's still... The mechanics of that, you know, means, well, it's still a challenge regardless of your level and your gear.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there's going to be quite a bit of that, both with all the class changes with healers and also with the number squish. You know, are they just going to, are all these raid bosses and everything just going to be, you know, number squished to buggery or what? What are they going to do with the number squishes in?
Well, they have said about old raids that they're going to. Because the question was, does that mean I won't be able to go back and solo old raids?
Mm.
And they did say, well, what we'll do is we'll squish them worse than you.
Right.
In effect. So actually going back and doing old raids will be easier. But I think given the mechanic changes, there'll still be a few of them that are a challenge.
Because
it's nice going back in with a relatively big group and massacring an old dungeon, but these are people who want to go in and do it on their own.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a slightly different thing, but.
Yes. Well, I mean, but they've said, I think what they actually said was, if you can solo a raid now, you'll be able to solo it in Warlords. Well, right now you can't solo Siege of Orgrimmar, so they're not making any promises about you being able to solo that.
No.
Anyway, time will tell.
Indeed, time normally does. Yes.
Unfortunately,
talking of time,
a big chunk of time.
What are we going to do? We're going to have to think seriously about our coming months.
I'll give you a list, and people can tweet you to add to the list.
I do want to get that cloud server. I want to try to do that.
Yeah, that's a good one to get. It looks beautiful.
Any Pandaria reputation would be a step forward, actually. Apart from Tiller's, I think I've done none of the others. Right. Although I got the one with the little flying saucer thing. I got to do that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was easy. So.
Yeah, that's all about the easy. That's a few hour one, not daily for weeks.
No commitment.
Mm. But Cloud Serpents, well, yeah, I mean, and the thing with Cloud Serpents is you need to think about which tune you want it on, because that's the one that's going to be able to ride it.
Yeah.
Unless you're going to spend a crap ton of time out on the Timeless Isle and get eggs to get reps some other way.
Yeah, see, then you have to start choosing favourites. It starts to get very messy in the alt world.
Well, got to be white, doesn't it?
Kind of does, yeah. Kind of does. I know he's going to be my first 100.
Yeah.
So I guess it's worthwhile. Indeed. Considering I'm going to have 10 levels without flying. I love it. What I love about the WoW community in World of Warcraft is that things that make you so angry and want you to quit, when something else comes along that makes you so angry, makes you want to quit, you forget about the other thing. So that people seem to have forgotten about the 10 levels without flying now.
Yeah.
They're like,
ooh. You won't have it till 6.1.
It's funny. So funny.
We got new things to complain about. Who cares about the old things we were complaining about?
That's right. Blizzard just say, just load them with loads of stuff that you can complain about. Yeah. Eventually they'll forget it all. Free hat. Yay.
Very good. All right, everyone. Well, if you want to add to Jeppy's list, tweet us. Let us know what he should be doing in the next 6 months, because he's not going to play the beta.
And we'll actually, I probably won't. I don't do betas, really, or betas, as they should be.
No, all VHSs.
No, I got rid of all that old tech.
We're done. That's it. We're calling it.
Is that your sign-out now? We're done. That's it.
We're done. That's it. That's my sign-out. No, my sign-out, I've decided. I'm doing a classic. I'm doing the classic, and it's got to be Song Lyrics, doesn't it?
Yeah, cool.
So here's my sign-out for this week. In the words of Pete Wingfield, remember, I'm 18 with a bullet. Got my finger on the trigger. I'm going to pull it.
Very good. I love that song. It was in...
Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, it's a very good album.
Yeah. I
have no sign out, really. I'm just going to say goodbye, because you've taken the one that I probably would have taken.
Well, weren't you going to go, may your swords never hit?
Crit. May your crits crit. Never sword may dull.
May your expertise never hit cap.
Goodbye.
Bye. You've just skipped to the end of WoW Geekly. Well, hopefully you didn't skip all the way and enjoyed something of what we said this week. If so, let us know. If not, let us know that too. How, you ask? Well, you're all clever and discerning people and can probably take a darn good guess, but I'll spell it out anyway. Find us on the interwebs at wowgeekly.com or over on Twitter where, wait for it, at wowgeekly. Follow the lads directly on at Asheo and at LJeppy. Or if you have a hankering to write us more than 140 characters, email us wowgeekly@gmail.com. Please subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher, or if you're really into oversubscribing, do both.
Upload complete.